You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, it's Carmen and Yurko on early because the White Sox have a day game. We'll go to 12:30. Then Connor's got your pregame. Len and DJ have the call live on the south side as the Sox and Guardians wrap the three-gamer. Sox going for the win. 1:10 first pitch today. Caps in with me, though, because we're doing spring trading. After the game, it'll be Sylvie and Hoodie and then Bleck and Yurko tonight. Back to normal tomorrow, but Caps in with me now. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Join the chat. And it's brought to you all this week by Brothers Bond. You want some? I mean, it's 11. Brothers Bond Bourbon.
I have TV later.
Yeah, a little sip's not going to cut. Have you tried it yet?
I have not.
You should try it.
I like bourbon.
Of course.
It's a little light in color.
Well, it's 80 proof. This is their basic entry level. You know, they want this for everybody. They want an approachable one, lower proof, and use it in a cocktail. Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley have a huge social media following because they're the two brothers from Vampire Diaries. I don't know. Obviously, We didn't watch Vampire Diaries. That's okay. Ian knows that. I talked to Ian last week. If you watch Lost, did you ever watch Lost?
I didn't.
He played Boone in Lost.
Heard it's a great show.
It was for a while. By the end, I was like, But that's where I know him from. But then, you know, he really exploded in the late aughts, early teens, because they did the Vampire Diaries on CW, which was like
big
phenomenon. But you had to be in a certain demographic. We certainly are not in that demographic.
Me, for sure.
Neither one of us. None of the four of us right now across, Shay, Merck, you, or me. But nonetheless, they were like blood-sucking vampire brothers that drank bourbon on the show, which is kind of cool. And so they decided to start their own bourbon. So yeah, so this is like I had their cast strength. It's good. Like, hey, you'd like that better.
I would like that.
Yeah, the cast strength is really good. Because it's full proof. It's uncut. It's nice. Yeah.
Something I could sip out of the patio.
And it's got some heat. Yeah. It's got some oomph to it. Yeah.
I sat on the patio last night. We had dinner outside. It was so great.
Beautiful. Oh. Good night. Once the sun went down, like, it was beautiful last
awesome.
Night.
Awesome.
Not a ton of humidity.
Can we
yet?
Put a parlay together today?
All right. I don't like parlays, but all right. I know you do. And you've hit big ones. You also had some tough ones, like you were just telling me on Monday. That's why parlays are tough.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead. What do you want to do?
Let's put a baseball one together. There's a lot of early day baseball.
There's a ton.
Brewers at Reds. Hauser against Gutierrez.
Yankees and Jays are coming up, right? I think that game is
Yankees and Jays, 11:35. Same for Brewers, Reds, and Dodgers at Pirates.
Ugh. That's garbage.
Guardians at White Sox.
What do you want to do? Are we looking at just winners? Are we looking at run lines?
You can do whatever you like. Before we get out of here, before 11:35,
all right.
See what you like.
Okay. Let me take a look. Let me peruse a little bit. Then the Yankees come to town. It's time to play Yankee Doodle Dandy because the Yankees will be here for 4 days. If you are out and about in the city and you see a Yankee, get a picture with that Yankee. And, Merck, how should we have them send them to us? You know, we don't really use the email system anymore.
Why don't you tweet
at us? Just tweet at us.
Why don't you get Merck and sell out?
I could do that. Yeah, tweet
Merck
and sell.
That's a good idea.
708. No, I'm just kidding. Just tweet them at us. And
555.
We could potentially, we'll get you a prize for sure. We love playing Yankee Doodle Dandy. That goes back to the old Carmen and Sylvie days. All right, let's take a look at the schedule and we'll put a parlay together. All right.
It'll be fun.
The NFL has started to release like little drips and drabs, you know, like what I think it was last week they released the full international schedule. They're looking for worldwide hegemony here, Cap. I'm telling you, they're going to take over the entire globe. But now they're playing on like three different continents this year.
It was breaking news that they're not playing on Black Friday this year, so you can shop.
That is why? Do they normally have a game on Black Friday?
There was rumor they were going to play.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They said, we are not going to mess with your
no,
Black
please,
Friday.
No, please, thank you. Yeah, you can't.
There's
too much college football on Black Friday.
Cody's like, please, leave my Black Friday alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. Leave it the way it is. But other than that, they're basically taking over the world and taking over the calendar.
Hey, Tweet Harry, does he have the rundown?
Harry gets a lot of games. I mean, he does. Follow Harry on Twitter, at Hey Tweet Harry, because he'll have a bunch of... He's got a good source up there that's leaked a bunch of games. We snagged one last year before it was released. The Carmen and Yurko show did. We had the Tampa game. Before it was released. That's the game that me and Danny and Sylvie took our boys to. Danny says he wants to do the Dallas game this year. You go
I've
to
never
Austin.
Been to that stadium.
It's pretty cool. Yurko and I did a listener trip there the second year it was in existence. And the Bears went down there and won. Jay played well. It was Jay and would it have been Greg Olson? Maybe Greg Olson must have been
what
on that team.
What year would that have been?
I want to say 2010.
Okay, I wasn't even here yet.
No, yeah, it was 2010. It was the second year the stadium was open. Johnny Knox had a big touchdown, if memory serves correctly. The Bears beat the Cowboys.
September 19, 2010.
There you go. That was it.
There were 27-20 Chicago.
There were so many Bear fans. Cap, I can't, and I know, look, there are Bear fans everywhere. Bears, of course, travel well. There were tons of us last year in Tampa. I mean, there are always Bears fans. But for whatever reason, that trip to Dallas, I was a little surprised. I mean, that stadium was 55-45. I'm telling you, that's how close it was. There were tailgates. There were huge tailgates in the parking lots, like tents pitched with Bears flags hanging around.
Crazy.
It was unbelievable.
So, Jay Cutler that game, 21 of 29.
Yeah, he had a good game.
For 277 and 3 scores, no picks.
Johnny Knox had one, is that right?
Nope.
Devin Hester?
Devin Hester caught a 9-yard touchdown from Jay Cutler.
Somebody had a bomb.
Matt Forte, 3-yard pass from Jay Cutler.
And then there was a big one, wasn't there?
Greg Olson, 39-yard touchdown pass from Jay Cutler.
Now, I remember that one. Greg Olson, and I think it might have even been like going into the half or something. I don't know. I remember games from when I was like 10 better than I remember games from just 10 years ago.
Romo, 34 of 51 for 374, a touchdown and 2 picks.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So we haven't been there in a long time. It'd be fun to get there. That's one of the more intriguing road games, I think, of the year for the Bears. Going to New York's always fun, but time of year is going to matter. Outdoors in the Meadowlands might not be that much fun. I'm guessing the Bears get 3 primetime games and that's it. They were bad last year, right?
Yes.
They get 3 primetime games, you think, guys?
It's
because they'll get a Sunday night game.
The market delivers numbers.
They'll get a Monday night game. They'll get a Sunday night game. They'll get a Thursday night game.
They had the Packers game, right? They had the Seahawks.
The Seahawks game? No, that was a Sunday afternoon.
No, that was Monday night.
Yeah, I think he's right.
It was Monday night. I had money on it, and Nagy lost his mind.
Well, they won the game.
No, they. I think they didn't.
Johnny
Knox.
Damir Bird made the insane catch in the back of the end zone for the 2-point conversion.
See what I mean? Like, how are we having a tough time remembering games from last?
Damir Bird.
Because the team was terrible. Cap's right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm positive of that. By the way,
my guess is they'll have 3 only because they're just not that good right now. Maybe a fourth with like a Thanksgiving game, like Shea was saying. What if they put Bears Cowboys? Maybe, but
Bears last game of the season, Week 18. Will be Bears at Lambeau.
You have it?
This is according to NFL schedule leaks.
How accurate is that, do we think? How many followers is NFL?
I think they're pretty good. Last year, I think they had.
Okay, so we're trusting it?
They have 7,500 followers.
We trust in it?
At NFL game leaks.
So they've got Week 18 Bears at Lambeau?
Yeah,
Bears at Lambeau. I can see that, though, because they want the division thing.
Kick.
So the other Bears, that means Bears, Packers, Soldier will be a primetime game, don't
probably
you think?
Right.
They'll put one of them in primetime.
And then Nicholas Bregenzer, who's a loyal listener, he said sent you and I, according to sources, the NFL Thanksgiving matchup for the Dallas Cowboys will be the Cincinnati Bengals in the 3:30 Central window.
I could see that. Do they normally put an AFC? I'm trying to think how they do the schedule. Do they alternate by year, like an NFC opponent and then an AFC opponent for the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? Or am
I
wrong?
And the Lions, too, maybe.
Do they do that? Do they try to alternate? I could see that as a marquee matchup, Cowboys and Bengals.
I'll be shocked if the Bears are on Thanksgiving again.
They've been on Thanksgiving a lot lately.
It was Monday night against Minnesota. It was the same week, a calendar week, as the Seahawks game. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that Seahawks game I thought was a daytime game.
It was.
Like 3:25 game.
It was the short week. You're right.
That was when Nagy had Fields quick snap on 4th and 2,
yes.
And then he ran out right. One of the worst play calls I've ever seen in my life.
They did win that game, though.
No, they lost to Minnesota.
No,
they
Minnesota, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, gotcha.
Seattle.
Yes, correct. All right, so Week 18 is going to be at Lambeau. We're going to get a bunch of these tomorrow, I'm telling you. They're all starting to leak. What do you think of the doubleheader? The Week 2 doubleheader. Did you see that? The Monday night doubleheader? The league has already announced Week 2 doubleheader. Monday night doubleheader. Do you think they want to do... Speaking of Harry, always had that idea. They started doing it in Week 1. They didn't do it last year at all. They're going to do it in Week 2. Is that like a beta test and they want to see how it goes?
And not do it in Week 1?
I don't think so. I think they're just doing it in Week 2. Let's see. The NFL's doing the unthinkable.
Every Monday a doubleheader.
Well, do you think that they want to get to that?
That'd be amazing. Think of the extra money.
You're starting every week then, though. You're starting a game really late, aren't you?
You're playing. You're kicking off the first one at probably
or
like.
Do you kick off at 5:57
or something like that?
Yeah, that could be. The NFL's doing the unthinkable. Plans there a doubleheader on the second Monday of the season. Just last year, there were no Monday night doubleheaders. Now we've got two. So I think you're right, Cap. It must be weeks 1 and 2. Good news appears. Good news is it appears only to be an experiment for now. But I wonder if people would like that. I always hated Thursday night football. It's starting to grow on me. I think teams are sort of settling into the rhythm a little bit better. My fear when it first happened was that you're going to get lousy football. That, first of all, it flies in the face of everything that they've tried to tell you for the last 12 years, that they're concerned about player safety. Making teams, you know, go from playing on Sunday to playing on Thursday is not taking...
Just wait till there's 20 games.
It's not taking into consideration one bit of player safety. It's just not. It's complete nonsense. So I didn't like that. I didn't like the quick turnaround, the lack of preparation, the travel, how it's going to affect the players. It's starting to grow on me a little. I think the competition has been better. I think the games have slightly gotten better in recent years. Maybe it's because, like I said, teams are just finally settling into the rhythms of it and figuring it out and understanding it. I think it was terrible for the first few years that we saw it, and I was afraid of that, and I had said that, and people were like, oh, you're crazy. It's a couple days earlier. But it was awful football for a while, and now we're kind of getting used to it. So will we see another like significant NFL schedule tweak? Will they do double headers on Monday?
Is there something called awful football? It's like awful pizza. It's pizza.
It's like, yeah, pizza. They say it's like sex, right? Now, even when it's bad, it's good.
My dear brother Bruce, who's an eye surgeon, he did an internship in the Bears training room when he was a senior in college.
So
he went to Lake Forest College.
Long time ago.
Yeah, 1985.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He was there for the 85 season? Wow.
Freddie Cato's intern. And
no
so
kidding.
He would call me and go, okay, I just watched Jim McMahon. They had to help him into the hot tub. He can barely walk.
Oh, God.
And Sunday he'd be out there. He said, Mongo and Hamp. He goes, I don't know how these guys are going to be able to play. And sure enough,
They somehow
find a way.
I think we know how, maybe. Space is in Plainfield. What's up, Space?
What's up, Cap, Carm? What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Good, man. How you
doing? What's your idea?
Man, here's my idea. I'm coming straight out with it. The game that I'm looking most forward to is probably games 1 and 2. That's going to give me a good idea of how terrible we really are or how good we are. You know, we got Washington, then we got Detroit. So, you know, those are, you would have thought, gimmies. But, you know, with this, with our team, you have no idea what to expect.
Where are you getting those? Where are you getting those schedule leaks? Do we already know that the first two? Did we know that?
I don't know that.
Where are you getting those schedule leaks from, Space? You know the first 2 weeks?
I got it from one of the guys from Twitter. So,
all right.
Yeah, so I don't know how true it is.
I wonder how accurate that is. Space has already got the first two games. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah,
Washington and Detroit?
Guys, I got all the information.
I don't know about believing Twitter.
Space, thanks, brother. We appreciate it. So Space already has the first two games, and we'll get an idea how they're going to play when they play Washington.
NFL schedule leaks, again, if we can trust them, they have week 8, Bills at Chiefs, and it will not be a primetime game.
That's a noon game? Bills
that is
Chiefs?
A 3:25 Central time.
Late kick.
It is a CBS-protected game of the year, and the game cannot be flexed.
Yeah, I get that.
And then there's another really cool one that I can't wait to watch.
Dude,
the
Bills
Bengals at the Saints. You think there's going to be a lot of fans watching Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Who went to LSU at New Orleans?
That's an excellent point. Bills Chiefs is juicy, isn't it? Week 8.
Bills Chiefs
really after juicy. Last year is juicy. If you want to talk about the schedule, 312-332-3776. We got some other fun stuff we're going to kick around as well. We got a game at the bottom of the hour here coming up at 11:30 that Merck has crafted for us. We'll see what that's all about. Watch us on Twitch, brought to you all this week by Brothers Bond Bourbon. It's Carmen and Cap, and we'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
At NFL Game Leaks, that's that Twitter handle. The schedule is officially announced tomorrow, but all the teams have the schedule and leaks happen. beat reporters get them. We usually get a game or two every year. We had the Tampa game last year. York and I got that one before anybody else. The Bears-Tampa trip late October. And Space just called. He said he had heard already the first 2 weeks were out. Definitely schedule leaks has the Bears hosting the Lions to open the season.
Week one.
And then, as you pointed out, they also had week 18, the Bears' last game, division game at Lambeau, noon game in week 18. So there's a bunch of leaks happening already. They already released the international schedule. They did that last week. And the NFL controls the calendar.
There's been some memorable Bears-Lions opening week or early season games. The Calvin Johnson.
Well, that's the one.
Where he caught it and he said no touchdown and that cost them the game.
That's the biggest. That one jumps, I mean, to the top of mind more than any other, Cap. I mean, that was it.
Second for me.
What was the other one?
Week 13 wing jet, Tommy Waddle. I wish we had that in the system. Waddle, touchdown from Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Bears win 27-24.
All right, so those are the two most memorable ones, for sure. I mean, the Calvin Johnson one, it changed the discussion and the narrative for years.
What is the catch?
Yeah, and then they, like, it somehow still for years they debated it. How hard could it be?
It was a catch.
And it, of course it was. And I think they finally got it right after.
And then the Dez Bryant one at Lambeau, you remember that?
Of course.
That was a catch.
That was a playoff game.
Yeah,
right?
That was a catch, and they called it no catch.
I think that was a catch.
Yes.
Chuck's in Arizona. What's up, Chuck?
What's going on, Cap and Carmen? How you doing?
How are you, man? What's up?
I was calling, first of all, that and then there was that Lions game, I think it was last year, where Swift ended up dropping the ball right in the end zone.
Yes, he
like
did.
That.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of drops, remember? Like, they kept killing themselves.
But he caught the one out of the backfield. I mean, he dropped the one out of the backfield going in, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it was one, like, right at the end of the game, though, to win the game. Yeah. Hey, I need you guys' help. I'm trying to get be able to watch my Bears out here. Mm. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
We got you.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to be able to watch my Bears out here, man, and I'm trying to see if I got to get DirecTV or they're going to get it on YouTube TV or what.
Geez, I'm not the best person to answer that question, Chuck. I think
I thought Carmen had an answer.
We need Bleck or Abdallah because they know the streaming platform
is better.
DirecTV
still got the NFL package? Is that they're doing again this year? I can't remember.
I think they are, and then I think this is the last year. I think it's switching.
This might be the last year of that deal.
Of the Sunday ticket?
Yes.
Yeah, the Sunday ticket, I think, just got sold maybe to Apple.
Oh, boy.
That's correct.
Okay.
But does that start this year?
I got to keep looking.
Or next year? Yeah, you're going to have to keep looking, Chuck. Well, and hit up Bleck or Abdallah. They normally tend to have a better grasp on, like, the streaming platforms and what is and isn't available. Like, I was, for some reason, still operating under the assumption that you couldn't get Red Zone on one of the streaming platforms. And I said, well, I really keep cable because I need it for football season and for Red Zone. And they were like, no, dummy. It streams. And I don't know why. I think YouTube TV maybe. One of them streams Red Zone. So they're probably a little bit better versed in being able to help you with that question.
Apple signing Sunday ticket for $2.5 billion.
When does that start, though?
That would DirecTV
loses it. Yeah, so next year. DirecTV loses it after this season.
All right, so Chuck, you might need DirecTV one more season and get the Sunday ticket.
That's unbelievable.
So you could watch
the NFL, man.
$2.5 billion.
So then, if somebody said to you, "Hang on a second, let's do two Monday night games and we'll give you another $3 billion," okay, in.
Wasn't the projection that, like, within the next 10 years, their TV revenues are going to be north of like $15 billion or something?
Something like that.
Right.
So I did that event Danny had me do with Schefter last week.
Yeah. Weren't you guys at Bump City?
At Bump City in Rosemont.
Yeah.
He was telling us before we went on that he was.
Can you reveal this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could reveal it.
I don't know if it was like a closed behind.
No, I can reveal it. Right. And I have two sources, my right eye and my left eye.
Okay. All right.
As he likes to say.
Two good sources.
He said an owner of a middle market NFL team.
A middle market NFL team.
Like, I'm guessing Carolina.
Right.
Denver,
yeah,
Houston. Not,
Houston's huge.
That's
not a middle market.
But not Chicago, New York, L.A., okay. Not those. He said
Kansas City, something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Told him that sooner rather than later, he goes, and I mean much sooner rather than later, an average middle market NFL team will be worth $10 billion.
Jesus.
Yeah. He said, add in a sports book. He goes, if the Bears get a new stadium and a sports book, that's a $15 billion asset.
Will they get a new stadium?
Yes.
I think so, too. But yeah. Who knows how long it's going to take with them up there, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what was the last time we heard from any of them? They're like, well, we don't know. I mean, like, is there
I'm
a plan
not a
or not, guys?
Fan.
I mean,
I'm not a football evaluator. I'm just a fan.
You know, it's like, here's your chance. Like, show us a big, fancy, you know, bring in, like, the Zoolander model and show it to us. And be like, look, this is what we're going to build. And no, it won't be a football stadium for ants. It'll be much, much bigger. But, I mean, like, what? Why wouldn't they do that? They were all basically like, no, we don't know. There's a long way to go. We haven't closed and we have no ideas and no plan whatsoever. Like, you could have wowed us. Hey, look at this artist's rendition. I don't know, just to make us feel better.
Like,
for nothing else.
Owner. And you walked into the press conference, and instead of saying, I'm not an evaluator, I'm just a fan, you would say, okay, we have let you all down. We get it.
I have no faith, Kat.
We moved on from Ryan and Matt. Now we've got Ryan and Matt.
Yes.
But trust me, they're better. And I want to show you the stadium we're building. If you'll just give us a little patience, we're going to build you a Super Bowl champion and an amazing stadium.
Yes.
People would be like, all right.
Why, right? Like, you buy yourself some
goodwill.
Time, some goodwill. Yeah, you're like, oh, okay. Like, they do have a plan. Instead.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
It's basically right. Like everything that you'd expect and everything that we make fun of. They're like stumbling and bumbling along. Like, guys, somebody up there be like, hey, I have an idea. Even if it's not true, so what? What are they going to? So if we never build the stadium, so what? But at least go out there and say, look at our plan. This is our idea. I don't know why that would make me feel better. Maybe it's silly, but it would have made me feel
better.
Well,
you don't think that Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public would have left on it? My Bears are back. Here we go.
I mean, like, come on.
Instead, we get Ryan and Matt are our football guys. Have we got the quarterback exactly right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Can you believe Ryan and Matt are still their football guys?
Crazy.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
We know. Of all the names out there, Ryan and Matt are still their football guys. Ron's in Maywood. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. I'm glad you guys are together because you guys do a lot more betting than the other guys do. I got a funny story that I wish I was a better, but as soon as I put money on anything, I lose.
What, you think you're like mush? You're mush?
Well, I don't know. I don't bet, but I'm sitting at the Garth Brooks show in Notre Dame Stadium this Sunday. We're waiting for him to come out, and they put the Kentucky Derby up on the big board, right? We're watching the horses load in and all that, and again, number 21 didn't want to go in. Number 2 backed out a couple times. They finally get it going, right? My father-in-law's name is Rich, and he was born on the 21st.
Oh.
His horse goes around and blows everybody away, and he wins. My wife is bawling her eyes out, man. It was so cool. I wish I was a betting man, but as soon as I would have put something on, he would have lost.
Oh, Ron, that's a terrible attitude.
That was so cool.
I mean, it was. It was amazing. Ron, next time, come on. You can't let that opportunity slip away next time, Ron. Your father-in-law is Rich, and he was born on the 21st. Come on.
How about Danny Wysocki from NBC Sports?
What did Danny do?
She married
a rich,
wonderful guy named JP.
Oh, okay. Is he rich?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's from Venezuela.
Okay. I think I knew that.
The jockey of 21 is from Venezuela.
He's from Venezuela.
So Danny.
Don't tell me.
And her husband and her mom and dad went to an OTB up in Detroit where her parents live.
Oh, my God.
Her dad said, here, JP, I bought a ticket. 21 on top of all $2 exactas. It paid $4,085.
Awesome. That is $2. For $2. That is absolutely fantastic.
Phenomenal.
We're going to play a game coming up next. Do we need listeners, Merck, or is it just...
We do. No. We do. We need fans.
What are we doing? 10?
I got 13 questions, but if we can go...
Cap and I are the lifelines?
Yeah, Cap and you will be the lifelines.
All right. So, Merck's got trivia. What are we playing for, Merck?
We got a $25 gift card to Geno's we can give away.
All right. And maybe a signed copy of the book, maybe?
Yeah, we could do that.
What do you think, Merck?
We can do
I'll
that.
I'll give you 20.
Sure.
I got you.
Okay. All right.
I got you covered,
okay.
Merck.
Right.
Maybe a signed copy of Merck's book.
Sure.
And a $25.
Sure. BehindTheGlassTheBook.com. Feels good.
You.
I haven't said that in a while.
Yeah,
BehindTheGlassTheBook.com.
All right. An autographed copy of Merck's book and a $25 Geno's gift card on the line. All right, so Cap and I don't know the game. We'll be your lifelines. 312-332-3776.
11:35 is first pitch. We'll give a parlay out when we come back.
All right. Let's do that real quick before we come back. All right. Here we go. We'll be right back.
You're
listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Before we play the game that Merck has concocted for us, let's give out this parlay, because first pitch is happening in a few parks coming up around the bigs. So let's do it quick.
Okay, what do you like?
How about Rizzo to homer today? He's got two career home runs off of Berríos. Small sample, but he's taken him deep twice.
Okay.
Plus 450.
Okay.
Rizzo to homer against Berríos.
We're going to throw out a monster and see
what
if
else?
We can win.
We're going to do Seattle money line, Mariners money line, right?
Yep.
With Logan Gilbert on the hill. And we think the Phillies are starting a minor. Did they call somebody up to make the start today?
They did, in place of Zach Eflin.
Okay, so let's go Logan Gilbert against the Phillies. Let's go Mariners at home against the Phillies money line.
Okay.
Celtics money line we like, right?
Yep.
I think we do.
I also threw
Celtics money line.
Dodgers money line minus 206.
Yes, agreed.
Just to tag it in there.
Dodgers money line, Mariners money line, Celtics money line,
yep.
Rizzo to homer. And what else? One more?
We have Brewers Reds over.
Oh, yeah, Brewers Reds over.
And then I threw White Sox money line in there.
All right.
I got to root for the White Sox.
All right, Red Sox money line.
Right. What you said,
that's
Rizzo,
six.
Rizzo to homer?
Yes, that's six leg parlay.
Okay, let's see what it plays.
I never do this. You're making me.
It'll be fun.
I know, but still. All right, there it is. Six league parlay. Rizzo to homer, Dodgers money line, M's money line, Celtics money line, Brewers Reds over, White Sox money line.
Yeah, on points bet, the Rizzo prop.
Yeah.
There are no player props available right now.
Damn. Maybe because the game went off. Because first pitch already happened? I thought it was 11:40.
No, yeah, no, it's coming up, but yeah. they don't have it up. All right. So if we go Seattle minus 150, Celtics money line, Dodgers money line, Reds over, and White Sox money line.
Do that. That's a five-leg parlay.
Yes.
What is it?
I'll tell you right now. That would be... So, let's see. I have... Yeah, it's over 10.5 Brewers and
ooh,
Reds.
Damn, that thing got pounded.
Pounded. White Sox money line. Mariners minus 145. Dodgers minus 206. Celtics minus 226. And
it was 9 an hour ago. What the hell happened?
That five-leg parlay is 11-1.
All right, 11-1. Play it. I can't believe that line jumped a run and a half in Cincinnati.
All right.
All right, it's in. 11-1.
That's going to be
good luck, everybody. All right, Merck, let's do this. How are we playing?
All right, so with the Yankees in town starting tomorrow for a four-game series.
Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I figured we will do... this is either going to be a classic Chicago-New York game, okay? So it could be hockey, basketball, football, or baseball, or a athlete/coach who has ties to both Chicago and New York.
Okay. Cap and I don't know the answers. We can be a lifeline for you. Tom and Wicker Park is up first. If you get it right, you'll go in the hopper, and somebody will win an autographed copy of Merck's book, Behind the Glass. You can buy those at behindtheglassthebook.com. And a $25 Geno's gift card. All right, Tom, you ready for your question?
Let's do it.
All right, here you go.
All right, Tom, this is a tough one to start with. July 1st, 1990, which Yankee pitcher threw no-hitter but lost the game to the White Sox 4-0?
I think Cap and I can help you if you need it on that one.
I think I can.
Yeah, I'll use a lifeline there, Carm.
I think it was Andy Hawkins.
Yeah, that's
right?
Exactly what I just
say
said.
Say Andy Hawkins.
Andy Hawkins.
C, correcto.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. I'm sorry, Shay. Yeah, we gotta.
Where's the C, correcto?
Hold on, Tom. Yeah, I don't know where those are. See, Shay's working with us. We're all getting to know each other a little bit.
Correct.
Correcto. That's good.
Shay, do we have something we can play for a correct answer?
There you go.
That'll work.
Mike in Oakbrook is next. Mike, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
All right, Mike, he opened the 1994 season with 3 home runs against Doc Gooden and the Mets.
I think I know that one.
Yeah, I know that one.
If you need help.
I need to use the lifeline there.
All right.
I wasn't born yet.
That would be Carl Tuffy Rhodes.
I don't think I knew his first name was Carl. I just thought he was Tuffy Rhodes.
With a K.
When you said Carl, I was like, wait, do I not know the answer? And then you said Tuffy. Yeah, say Tuffy Rhodes, Mike.
Tuffy Rhodes.
Mike, there you go. How did I never know that?
I don't know.
I just always call them Tuffy Roads. All right, Matt in South Dakota is calling next. Matt, how's life in South Dakota? Pretty boring?
Wonderful, man. Oh, good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
I love it. All right, Matt, here we go. Here's your question.
All right, this former Blackhawk great won his only Stanley Cup title with the New York Rangers in 1994.
Oh, we know. Say that. It one more time.
I know it.
This former Blackhawk great won his only Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers in 1994.
Oh, the word great threw me.
Oh.
That's a shot.
Matt, you know who that is?
No, I need a little help, Carmen.
All right. That's got to be Eddie. Unless our he's guy. Tricking us. Is it? He doesn't mean Mike Keenan, does he?
No.
He means Eddie O.
Edzo.
Right? Yeah. Say our Eddie guy. O.
Eddie O.
There you go. Love nice shot, Edzo. Man. Hold on. For a second, I thought he was tricking us because Keenan's only cup win came with
the Rangers.
The Rangers, right?
And the team hated
Well, nobody
him.
Likes Mike Keenan.
That's right. He wins.
He's still with us.
I think
Mike Keenan's still with us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody can stand him. Andrew's in Hanover Park. Andrew, you ready?
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up, buddy? Here's your question, all right?
All right. He played for both the Sox and the Yankees. Ozzie Guillen said of him, I hate him with all my heart.
Help me out, boys.
Well, wait a minute. Could it be Nick Swisher?
Yeah. That is where I was going.
He couldn't stand him. Was there like somebody that Ozzie played with that he didn't like that played for both teams? That's what I'm wondering.
But Nick's the Dirty 30.
He hated Nick Swisher.
And we did a deal with him to be on with me on, what was the name of the show I host? Chicago Tribune Live.
Chicago Tribune Live, yeah.
And what a jagbag that guy was.
Hoodie used to call him Dirty 220. It was the best. Hoodie and I were doing shows together that your Nick Swisher was making our lives miserable on the South Side. I think it's Nick Swisher, Andrew, so that's our best guess.
It is.
Hey, everybody hates him. Let's go Nick Swisher.
There we go. Nice job, Andrew.
I looked it up.
You did? All right. Everybody's qualified so far. I like it.
All right.
32-20. Chris is in Naperville. Chris, you ready?
Yes.
All right, here you go.
Okay, June 2nd, 1993, this former Nick missed three straight layups in a critical playoff loss to the Bulls.
Oh, I know who it is. Say the question one more time.
June 2nd, 1993, this former Nick missed three straight layups in a critical playoff loss to the Bulls.
Yeah.
Charles Smith.
We're just going to help you, Chris, even if you did know it. It's Charles Smith.
Yeah, I was only eight. So.
Yeah. Charles Smith? There you go.
Damn.
There you go, Chris. I believe Horace blocked him twice. Didn't he? I think Horace had two, and then he missed
and
one.
And missed hung one. On the rim and fell off.
And then, like, Horace blocked it, and then he got another offensive rebound, and then Horace blocked him again. Yeah. All right, next up is Mike and Bartlett. So far, we're perfect. Let's keep it going.
This is the New York game. It's either a famous game between a New York team and a Chicago team or a player or coach who has ties to both teams. All right, here we go. Which Giant punter whiffed on a punt in the playoff game against the Bears in 1986?
We can help you with that.
That's easy.
Yeah, I'm going to need some help there.
That would be Sean Landetta. There you go, Mikey. Cool. Sit tight, buddy. You're a qualifier. Sean Landetta. Remember that? Dave is in Tinley Park. Dave, you ready?
Ready, fellas.
Here's your question.
Okay, this one I think I might stump everyone on. It's a tough one, all right?
All right.
He is the current bullpen coach for the Yankees. He was a former number one pick for the Cubs.
I got that one.
Nice. I don't think I do. Cap's got it. I think
Dave,
if you need
you
help,
the answer?
Dave.
I need to catch the first part of the question, but I'm going to hand it to Cap. Cap, you got it.
That would be Mike Harkey.
I wouldn't have gotten that. That's
By
good.
Way, I,
Dave,
I almost,
congrats. Hold on.
My girlfriend and I in college broke up for like a week because
over Mike Harkey
because he was throwing a no hitter against the Padres and it was an afternoon game and she wanted to go for a walk by the lake and she goes, are you ready to go? And you know, this is before the internet, obviously. And I said, Mike's got a no-no through five. We'll have to wait. And she's like, are you being serious? I'm like, yeah. And she hung up the phone. We didn't talk like for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So. And then he never even threw that no-hitter.
No, like two, an inning later, they may have lost the game,
The Cubs not only blew the no-hitter, they blew the loss, and it cost Murph.
What year was he drafted?
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Well, that was 89, so it was probably like 86, 87.
I'm looking right now. He was drafted in 1987, and I believe He was like third overall.
Let's hold on. Sit tight. If you've already qualified, hold on. We got a few more questions. We'll carry it over to the next segment. All right, we got time. We're going to 12:30 into White Sox baseball with Connor right here on your home for the Sox, ESPN 1000. All right, as we continue Merck's game with the Yankees rolling into town, we did forget something about one of the previous questions. And as much as we all love Eddie O, you know who else was on that 94 Ranger team? I forgot.
Mark Messier?
Well, yeah, but I mean former Hawk great. A true.
Oh, Steve Larmer.
Steve Larmer. Yes.
That's true.
Either okay. answer could have worked.
Yeah, either answer
Steve
could've
Larmer
worked.
Not in the Hockey Hall of Fame is the biggest travesty going in hockey. Period. End of story.
And
take that.
And yeah, take that. And
how Steve Larmer's not in the Hall of Fame is a joke.
Mike Harkey, who I believe is now the bullpen coach.
Of the Yankees. That was that question. That's a good one you got.
His best friend is Joe Girardi.
Oh, is that right? That
makes
sense.
That's how he got to the Yankees.
That makes sense,
and then they've
yeah.
kept him ever since.
Yeah.
So he was drafted by the Cubs top five.
Yes.
Danny Evans said, best college pitcher I ever saw.
I could see that.
And he did a cartwheel at Wrigley, just, you know, messing around. Blew out his knee, hurt his shoulder, done.
It's kind of why, like, the Sox told Burley to stop on the tarp. Honestly, you're like, oh, why are you killing the fun?
Greg Maddux.
They were finally like, listen, Mark, you know, something goes wrong. It's not good. So remember, Mark Burley was famous for in rain delays going out and sliding on the tarp.
Same with Les Lancaster and Greg Maddux.
That's right. And they finally told Burley, Kenny Williams is like, you got to knock it off, dude. You like, you know, you're Mark Burley. We don't want you to get hurt.
Listen to the first round of the draft in 87.
So this is the 87 draft? Okay.
First pick overall by Seattle, Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow. I think
then
pretty good.
Some guy I never heard of, number two to the Pirates, Mark Merchant. Willie Banks, remember him, a pitcher to the Twins. Mike Harkey, fourth overall to the Cubs. Jack McDowell, fifth to the White Sox.
Damn.
They wanted Harkey.
Oh, wow.
And
look at how that
off
worked
the board.
Out.
Derek Lilliquist to the Braves. Kevin Apier, ninth overall.
Long career.
Delino DeShields, 12th.
I love Delino DeShields.
Bill Spires, 13th. Chris Carpenter to the Cardinals, 14th. Mike Remlinger, 15th.
Wow, Chris Carpenter was drafted in 87?
Yeah. Craig Biggio, 22.
Woo!
I mean, there's some
good draft.
Studs here.
That is a good draft.
Hold Travis Fryman.
I remember my Delino DeShields future stars card.
Todd Hundley, 39th.
All right, Merck, let's pick. Where do we pick up?
And Albert Bell, 47.
So it looks like we're on number 8. So Ed and St. John in the
Ed and St. John. All right, we got 7 qualifiers so far. Let's do a few more. Ed, you ready for a question?
I am ready.
All right, buddy, here you go.
Okay, this is a tough one. I don't know if you guys look at this one. We all remember 1.8 for Scottie Pippen.
Mm.
However, Tony Kukoc saved the Bulls that day with a game-winning shot against the Knicks. Name who threw the inbounds pass to Tony. This is a tough one.
Wow, Scottie was on the bench. That is a good question. Jeez.
Woo.
Boy, Eddie,
can I go back to the Sean Landetta question?
No, unfortunately, we can't do that. Would it have been? Let's take an educated guess here. Who else big on, would have been on the floor inbounding the ball with Scottie off of it? Would it have been?
I'll give you one.
Horace?
Let me give you one hint.
Sure.
For years he's been an assistant coach in the NBA since his playing days were done. And he spent some time with the Bulls, I believe, as well.
Would it have been Cartwright? That would have been weird. Cartwright inbounding the ball.
Cartwright
it?
Was sitting next to Pip.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know, Eddie. I feel bad.
Hang on. I'm going to get this.
Well, you're looking, though. You can't
I'm trying to look.
Cap's over here cheating. Eddie, I don't know. Take a shot in the dark here.
I'm going to say Horace.
Yes, I'd say Horace is best educated guess, but Horace was an assistant.
Oh,
Eddie, sorry, pal. We let you down. Who was it?
Pete Myers.
Oh, damn. Damn it.
The quality of the YouTube video I found was so bad, I couldn't tell who it was.
Oh, my God. Aaron is in Wisconsin. Aaron, let's hope this one's a little easier. You ready?
I am, as long as it's not about Paul Revere.
Oh, my God. Aaron's back, and he's the history professor taking shots at the old game again. All right, here we go, Aaron.
All right, this is a tough one, too, Aaron. In 1991, the Jets and Bears battled on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
Our very own Tom Waddle had an unbelievable game that day.
The game went to overtime. Bears won 19-13. Name who scored the game-winning touchdown for the Bears.
Whoa.
1991.
Let's see. I can tell you a lot about that game. Steve McMichael stripped Blair Thomas to get the football back. They thought they had scored, and Jim Harbaugh was doing an interview with the late Tim Weigel, and they came and grabbed him out of the interview.
And said, you got to go back on the field.
Brought him back. Was it Cap Boso?
I mean,
that's... I'm not going to say.
I know. I guess it's not Cap Boso. I could tell by Merch's reaction. It's definitely not Cap Boso.
Well, he had the one where they pulled the...
The turf out of his helmet.
The turf out of his helmet. Remember that?
Could it have been a Ryan Wetnight?
And this, the question is, say it again, they want to know who's the game-winning touchdown?
Who scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime?
Could it have been a...
I think Harbaugh had to go back in and sneak it in.
No, that's as good of a guess as any. Say it.
Harbaugh sneaked.
Jim Harbaugh. Good job, Jim Harbaugh.
When they brought him back out from the interview.
Yep.
Aaron, there you go. Good work, boys. Yep. All right. Nick and Racine, we'll do one more. Nick, you ready?
Yep.
All right, here's your question.
This one, I'll give an easy one because I thought, let's go to question 12. August 5th, 2007, this Mets pitcher won his 300th game against the Cubs on Sunday Night Baseball.
I was there with Brett.
What year was it?
2007, August 5th, 2007.
Maddox, right, guys?
No. Don't Mets be jumping
pitcher,
the gun
Mets
here.
Pitcher.
A Mets pitcher that won his 300th game, and it was against the Cubs.
I was there.
2007. If you know it, go ahead. I can't think of it.
And I believe in the same game, Soriano tried to stretch into a triple and pulled his hamstring.
Really?
It was Tom Glavine.
Oh, that makes sense. There you go. Nicely done. Nick, hold on, buddy. Don't go anywhere. You're in the hopper here. Let me get
the
randomizer.
Like a grabber today.
Yeah, it was really good.
R.I.P. Less.
R.I.P. Can you believe grabber?
No.
Let me do the quick randomizer. All right, so. Oh, my God. Look at from the last time. What game did we do that we had like 20 guys in this thing here, Merck?
I don't know.
All right, who are our qualifiers? We had Tom, right?
Yep.
In Wicker Park. We had Mike and Oakbrook.
Do you want to go to the break and do it? And
yeah,
we'll do
let's
it.
Do that. Sit tight for two more minutes, guys.
Let me give you one more quick question because this is the one I was going to do.
Go ahead.
2005, the big unit gave up three straight home runs to Sox hitters. That's the most he ever gave up. Name two of the three that went yard.
05?
Yeah, 05 Sox team.
Paul Konerko, Jermaine Dye. No.
Joe Creedy.
No.
Aaron Rowan.
Aaron Rowan and Aguchi.
Aaron Rowan, Aguchi, and Konerko? Yeah. There you go.
There you
got
go.
A couple
okay.
of them.
Good All right, we'll do it out of the break.
All right, we'll grab a winning name coming up. If you qualified, hold on. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.